I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. There's a new book out now, My Mother's Secret. It's a novel from the first-time author J.L. Wittrich. She joins me now to talk about this new book that talks about a mother and daughter who hide Jewish families and a German soldier in their home during the Second World War. It's based on a true story, and I'll get Ms. Wittrich to tell us about the mother and the daughter, Francesca and Helena, and the ingenious way she tells the story. This book has already gotten good notices and will be included in some school curricula. It's an ideal book to teach readers of all ages about the lessons of the Holocaust. I'll ask Ms. Wittrich about how she came to write this book and why, as this is her first book, she remains a successful financial analyst and investor, as she's president of the firm Sky Investment Council. The book is published by iUniverse. Visit mymothersecret.com for more information. Incidentally, proceeds of this book will go to various charities. In the month of May, in the month of April, Girls Helping Girls in Africa will benefit from sales of this book. In May, proceeds will go towards ALS research. If you buy the book from Indigo Chapters, proceeds will go to their Love of Reading Foundation. Please welcome to the Plant on the Line program in Toronto today, Jenny Wittrich. Ms. Wittrich, good morning.
Hi, Joe.
Thanks for joining us.
Well, I'm delighted that you're interested in the book. Thank you so much.
Just to think about your day job for a sec here. I've been reading the book and reading up on you in the last couple of weeks, and then last week Art Phillips died. And
yeah.
I understand that Phillips, Hager & North, the investment firm that he founded, that's
yes.
part of Sky now, is it?
Well, they own 35% of Sky.
I see.
Yes, and so I'm very, very privileged to be associated with, you know, with amazing people like Art.
Yeah, just a coincidence, because when I'd read the obituaries, and I said, where had I seen that firm's name before, and then I remembered I'd seen it in some of the material that I read on you, so it
yeah.
all comes full circle, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
Yeah. So you tell this story in this book of this mother and this daughter, Francesca,
mm-hmm.
the mother and the daughter, Helena.
Yes.
This is a true story, right?
Yes, that's right.
How did you come across that?
Well, you know, it was just by chance how some things in life happen like that. I was watching a documentary based on what happened and with this woman and her daughter during the war, and it just stuck with me. You know, Joe, I after the film, I couldn't stop thinking about it, and I said to myself, somebody should really write a book based on these facts or on what happened. And then one day I just said to myself, why can't that somebody be me? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so many things in life we go, somebody should do this or that, right? And so I started writing it in my spare time. It just captivated me, this story.
Now, you could have easily written a straight history, if you will.
Right.
Why did you choose this sort of novel type way to tell the story of what happened?
Well, I wanted the book to have a wide appeal. I wanted young adults. I wanted, actually, we've had kids 10 years old read it and love it, and we've had people over 70, 80 years old read it and love it, and hopefully people in between like it too.
Yeah.
It was written with that intent. It was written so that it didn't matter what age you were, it didn't matter what your background was, that, you know, you would be able to find something that you could relate to in the book. And so it's written in the present tense, even though it occurred during the Second World War, so it would have a sense of urgency to it. And it's written as if the person is talking to you, so it feels like your friend is just telling you a story. And I wanted it to be that intimate and feel, you know, really, I guess, feel like you were part of it when you read it.
And the other good thing that you do in the book is that, I mean, you do that, obviously. You tell a story.
Mm-hmm.
It's one that's accessible. You also make the context of the times, the Holocaust, the Second
yes.
World War. You make
yes.
that accessible for readers.
Yes, you know, one of the things that if you go on the website, we did interview some younger people, and we had 13-year-old girls and boys read it. They both thankfully really liked it. But one of the things they said was that they learned a lot from reading it, but it didn't feel like it was a history book at all, because, you know, this is a story, and they felt that they learned a lot, but it was so enjoyable at the same time in terms of, you know, being caught up in the story. And I was really happy to hear that, because I think that and people who have read a lot of Holocaust stories have said to me that, know, they want to remember what happened so that it never happens again. But it's really hard to read a lot of Holocaust stories because they're so sad and really dark. And I get that because, you know, those stories were sad and dark in those days. But this one I chose to go with making sure that I was true to events of the time, but as well showing that there was another side, that there was courage, that there was goodness, you know, in the midst of all that evil. And there were people who were willing to take a stand and who were willing to risk their lives to do so. And what I like about this story is that it leaves you feeling good, you know, which a lot of Holocaust stories do not. And I think that's why people like it, is because they learn a lot, but they also love the characters, and they feel good when they read it. It's inspirational, despite the topic.
Yeah, it is a dark time, obviously. The story is not depressing. I mean, you really feel lifted up by it. There's a lot of inspiration
there. That's right. And I think that that helps people see it more than learning about history. It helps them, you know, see it as something that they can enjoy, but at the same time feel that acts of kindness and courage are really a personal choice. That's one of the things that I wanted to accomplish with the book. And one of the comments by a person that read the book was that they felt that I see great possibilities for this book to promote peace and understanding. And this is by Arnold Noriak, who I have on the cover of the book. Mm-hmm. He founded something called CISPO, which is exchange students in the Middle East. And he's going to use this in the curriculum because he thinks that it really does foster, when you read the book, it really helps you understand that how you behave and who you become is really a personal choice. And it doesn't have to be a reflection of what you're supposed to do at this time.
This might be a silly question, but I'll ask it anyway because I think it's a good way dealing what you deal with in the book. It's why should we remember the Holocaust? And at the same time, who should read this book?
Well, I think that I think that it's important to remember history because certain things you definitely don't want to happen again. And this definitely would be one of those. I hope that everyone can enjoy this book and will be able to find something in it that touches them. That's my greatest wish for writing the book. As you know, we're donating the proceeds to charity, and it was really my intent to write something that people would enjoy and that they would find inspirational.
Did you find that there's less of a tolerance towards Holocaust denying in the sort?
Can you say that again?
In terms of Holocaust denying, because I mean we've seen that happen a little bit more in the last few years, just because of Ahmadinejad, but others him. Did you find that the tolerance for that is increasing?
You know, we do international investing, so we look at what's happening all around the world, and I think the world is going to be experiencing tough times. I mean, we know that. We know austerity programs, we know higher taxation, we know, people don't have money, jobs, all around the world, it's becoming an issue. And historically, when you see this happening, you have an increase in violence, and you also have less tolerance. And this, for me, is somewhat concerning. So where you're coming from, I think, is a byproduct of the economic times that we're experiencing. And in the book, I allude to that. I mean, I actually use a personal experience that I had with my own son in the book in terms of saying that, Hitler is blaming the Jews for their troubles, but I use the example where my son tripped on the street and said an ant tripped him because he was embarrassed. And I use that in the story to explain, for a mother to explain to her son that, do you think an ant could have tripped you? And the son says, no, of course not. Well, Hitler is saying, that's the analogy that I give. And so I think that whenever you have hardship, people look for scapegoats, and that I hope that doesn't happen again.
There's obviously good and evil in all conflict, but with real life, with history, it can get gray. Were there any difficulties for you in portraying some of the people in the book, like the bad guys, if you will?
You know, I think that what I try to do was make the people in the story authentic. So people aren't 100% good, and they're not 100% bad, just like people are in real life. But they choose to act on, on what they believe to be the right thing to do. So, you know, even the good guys, like Francisca and her daughter, there is a passage in the book where they say, well, maybe they should just make everybody leave, you know, because they're risking their lives. And if you wanted them to be perfect in the story, you know, perfect heroes, you wouldn't introduce that. But they did consider that because, you can't imagine how much hardship feeding all those people and hiding them and the fear of being discovered. So I try to make my people realistic. And then also the German soldiers who were brutal in the concentration, in the ghetto, when they come over to her house for dinner because, you know, she invites the German commander over for dinner, and this she did in real life to throw off the scent for her neighbors, to let them think that she was a Nazi sympathizer when she was actually hiding Jews, is that at the dinner, you know, they're singing songs and they're like very normal people. And so I wanted to show both sides. I wanted to show that people are not one-dimensional, but who you become and what you do will define you, and that's a choice.
The idea of self-preservation, helping someone else, that's the struggle that the characters in the book deal with. Do you come to any conclusions as to what one ought to do in a time of great moral crisis?
Well, you know, I think that's a very difficult question to answer, and that's why in the book I present it in a way that leaves the reader to make that decision, because it is, of course, something that we all say, you know, in times of peace, yeah, I would do that, you know, I would help somebody, I would hide somebody. But when you're in that position and you have to risk your family, you have to risk your own child's life to do that, I don't know that, it's such an easy decision, and I don't know that you can fault somebody for not doing it, because it is that difficult a decision. So the reason why I think we admire people who do it, such as Helena and her mother Francesca in this story, is because it is so difficult and most people would not do it. And so I think that's why we see them as heroes, because they do what is so difficult. And I don't say that I expect people to do it. I just show the story and let people decide.
What's it like to write a book like this? Did you come away from it feeling inspired, feeling optimistic?
You know, despite the topic, I do. And I loved writing it. I loved every moment of writing it. And what has been so amazing is the feedback that we've had. I've had people send me emails saying that they couldn't put it down. They stayed up late and tired at work, or tears in their eyes when they read it, or felt so inspired and moved and humbled by it. And all those things that I've received is more than I could have asked for. I feel so fortunate that people like it and are telling me so. I'm thrilled.
You dedicate the book to Jim Hunter. Who's
yes.
he?
Jim Hunter is a friend of mine. He was also the past president of Mackenzie Financial. And Jim has ALS. And that is one of the reasons, why we're donating proceeds of the book to ALS research as well. And I say Jim, is one of the bravest men I know, because it is a horrible disease. And he is, you know, he is so courageous, and he's so optimistic towards life and so positive. I don't know how he does it, but he does. And so I'm just so in admiration of him. And then also, of course, Righteous Among the Nations. These people are recognized that way, Francesca and her daughter, because they risked their lives to help Jews during the Holocaust. And at Yad Vashem, which is in the Holocaust Museum in Jerusalem, they have this this museum where I took a picture of the plaque that beside the tree that is planted to remember them by. So I dedicate the book to the Righteous Among the Nations as well.
Who's on the cover?
It's just a boy that we had dressed up in that period, and I just liked him a lot because he had this really, he was a really happy and a little bit mischievous boy, and we had actually intended on having a girl on the cover, but he was the girl's brother. She was the one we were going to take the picture of, and he was just playing around, and he had the clothes on that was from that period as well. And I just liked the fact that he, you know, he was crouched down, and he had this look of looking off to the side in terms of something that made him happy. And I thought, you know, when I saw the picture, I thought, you know, we're going to go with this because it symbolized the optimism and the, I guess, the fact that this is a sad time, but the people in it weren't you know, all going to be pulled down by their situation. They were gonna live their life regardless. And I thought that symbolized that very well.
Is it more difficult to write a short, concise book as opposed to a longer one? Even writing for a younger audience, that would seem to me a lot more difficult than, say, if you were writing me or writing for an adult audience.
I guess it depends on the author and the author's style. This is my style. I don't speak in long sentences, and I don't think that way, I guess. I think that simplicity when you say something that makes an impact, you don't need a lot of long or big words. And in fact, I think that the fewer the better, because, well, I think today people also have short attention spans, but not only that, I wanted to respect the reader's time. You know, I think that if I'm going to ask somebody to read the book, I want to make sure that just about every line in that book is critical or necessary for the development of the story or character or something, so that I am making the best use of that reader's time, and I feel that you know, I have an obligation to do that as a writer.
Did you always write, like, growing up?
Yeah, I used to write stories when I was in high school. When I was a long time ago, and quite frankly, Joe, I wasn't sure that I'd be any good at it, because, you know, when I said it clicked, and I said, well, why don't I just write the story? That was a big step. You know, that's like somebody who's never swam across the pool, saying, I'm going to swim across the lake, you know, because I want to.
Yeah.
And but the thing is you train, right? And you can if you train, you know, and you feel strong enough about it. I guess that's me, right? I've been an underdog in a way all my life, and I'm a big believer that anything is possible, but you have to, of course, acquire the skills for it. So I talked to Holocaust experts, and I read a lot of Holocaust books, and I did a lot of research to make sure that the story was well-founded. But in terms of the writing style, I also analyzed what books, you know, people liked and why, and what would work with my own style. So I did do some of that, but it came down to just keeping it really simple. And someone said, your book reads like poetry. It's almost, you know, it doesn't feel like prose. And I was, I think the biggest compliment someone said was, its simplicity is deceiving. It's poetic yet profound. And that was awesome. I love that.
Yeah, will you continue writing?
I think so. It's a hobby. I enjoy it. You know, some people said, well, how did you find the time if you're doing investing as well? And I said, well, do you have time to go to the gym? You look pretty good, you know. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I go to the gym 3-5 times a week. And I'm like, well, I don't go to the gym. But, you know, I write 3-5 times a week kind of thing when I have time in the evening or so, or when I'm traveling and have time, you know. So I think if you love something, if it's a dream, you find time in the smallest crevices of your day.
This book also looks at love in all its forms and how we change when we are loved.
Yes.
We're more complete, aren't we?
Well, I make love a real central theme in the story, because I think love really elevates us. And love is what makes sacrifice an easy decision, right? Like, I'm a mom, and so, you know, I remember when my kid wanted something, let's say there's only, you know, one bagel left or one muffin left, there's no question, you know, the kid's going to get that, right? And so what's that? That's love. It's not, you know, and it makes us, I think less of ourselves when we love someone else, and it makes us able to endure really tough times for the sake of someone else or helping someone else. So I think that I made love run throughout the story, because I do think that it is something that gives us strength and allows us to be greater than we are.
And then I guess optimism comes out of that, right?
Exactly. And I'm an optimist by nature, and I think that I try to keep the book that way as well, despite the dark times.
Jenny, it's been a pleasure talking to you today. Congratulations on this book, and good luck with it. I hope a lot of people buy it.
Thank you, Joe. I really appreciate the time with you. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. The website for more, mymotherssecret.com. The book is called My Mother's Secret. It's published by iUniverse. Its author, Jenny Ritterick, online from Toronto and Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plante.